Do you know how powerful you are?
Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. I'm your host, Terrell Simmons. And this next person I get to speak with and build, and I call her my sister from another mister, Amy Thompson. What can I say about her? She's an executive, investor, mentor, and leader, and current president and CEO of Creative Allies as a minority certified marketing firm for entrepreneurs. They offer a wide range of marketing services to help you kind of grow your client brand, and they create best practices from lessons that she has learned over the years in her 10-year history in the business, and connect her clients and buyers to fans and buyers and followers, and just enhance your overall brand story. So check her out. It was really fun talking to her offline after the podcast, just kind of, you know, getting some secrets and tips. Actually, she lays a couple little secrets and tips in episode 2, but we did a further deeper dive, and hopefully I can get her in a masterclass when we start this masterclass series up, where we invite all our listeners over to Patreon, or I have a strong feeling we're gonna probably do it at Patreon. We've been exploring a couple of different places to put it in, but without further ado, let me just get you into the episode with Amy Thompson. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. We got a special guest in the building, Amy Thompson. So, Amy, I have to ask this question. Is there any relation to the famous coach from Georgetown, Mr. John Thompson?
Not that I'm aware of.
I was about to say, we have an extra special legend in our own right, but I had to ask, being from D.C. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
That's good. Where are you joining us from?
I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah. You know, I got some family down in South Carolina, in Charleston, South Carolina, so nice. We might be second cousins, kinfolks, or something like that. All right, so let's do this. For those who don't know who Amy is, who is Amy? I know that's a deep question, but you could take that as far as wide as you want to go. Who is Amy?
Sure. I would say that I am definitely a workaholic. So a lot of times when I answer this question, it starts with work. So I'll try not to do that this time. I am a sports lover. So this weekend, my Carolina Tar Heels, they were in the Final Four and they're playing tonight. I'm thrilled about that. I love sports, love basketball. I'm a big music fan as well. So I'm kind of looking forward to us being able to go back to concerts. We had J. Cole's Dreamville Festival this weekend. I was not going to go out in public with that many people, but I did watch it online. But I'm looking forward to that coming back as well. So love sports, love music. And spend a lot of time doing that. Enjoy traveling. And I'm really excited to get back out there and do some more traveling as well. But what I, you know, my passion is really about helping people. I like being able to use the things that I'm good at to help other people personally, professionally, or however. And I'm excited that I have a chance to incorporate that in my business.
Nice. You know, I heard J. Cole was on a good show too.
It was good. Yeah. It was a fun. I only watched the people I wanted to watch, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Man. and get back to that sports part. You know, I'm happy for North Carolina, but you know, I must say, you know, I was hoping Coach K would get a better retirement party.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that he did not.
North Carolina just spoiled that.
It was wonderful to watch.
So I'm happy for those guys. All right. Let's go into the business side. Okay. What is your business?
Yeah. So Creative Allies is my company. We're a digital marketing agency, and we focus on providing marketing to other entrepreneurs. So our core base would be other companies just like us. So they might be, you know, under 10, 12 employees. They're, you know, maybe up to 2 million in sales, and looking for help and a partner for marketing. Most people in that span might not have a full-time like marketing director. And so they're looking for that kind of collaboration and support to help them with things like their website, their social media. We do a lot of video work, event planning, and things like that.
Nice. I love it. I love it. You know, the digital marketing space is just, I feel like such a competitive space. How do you find yourself standing out from the rest and really, you know, solidifying your little niche?
Yeah.
Well, not little niche, but your niche in the market.
Yeah, it's a good question. It is a very competitive space, but I will say that, you know, actually somebody just asked me this on Saturday. There's enough money out here for all of us. Because
there you go. Abundance mindset.
Yeah,
I like it.
Because, you know, digital marketing is something that everyone needs. So no matter what industry you're in, no matter the size of your business, whether you're government, non-government, for-profit, non-profit, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs digital marketing. So even though there are a lot of companies who offer it, there really honestly is enough out here for all of us to, you know, eat nicely. And so, yeah, we have competition. Certainly we might lose out to other people, but for us historically, it's been about referral business. And so once we get with a client, if we do a good job, they're telling everybody about us. So we get honestly, probably 90% of our business comes from referrals or repeat customers. And so that is wonderful. It's just it's a testament to my team and the work that we've done and the relationships that we build with our clients. And so for us, that's what helps us be different in a way. It's just making sure we're servicing our clients, that they're happy with the work so that they can tell people about us.
Right. So now I consider you like a professional in this space and a guru, although I dabble in it and it's mostly for my business purpose. I don't have like all the knowledge and wherewithal that you do. And I was talking to a client, I want to say like 3 weeks ago, and I was telling them like how important having a digital presence is. And they was like, I don't need it for my type of business. I was like, no, everybody needs a digital presence and footprint for their business nowadays. You may be doing good now, but if you want to have long-term longevity and sustainability, that's just my own personal take on it, but you are from this industry. So could you tell me like from your point of view, is it important that every business has a digital footprint? And then if so, why?
Yeah, it's absolutely important because, you know, what I try to explain to people is think about yourself as a consumer rather than a business owner, right? So if you're looking for something to eat, if you need to get your hair done, you're going to ask somebody that you know, or you're going to go on Google. Those are like literally the only two things you're going to do. The same thing if people are looking for marketing, people are looking for whatever product you offer, they're going to ask somebody that they know and trust, or they're going to go on Google. If you don't have a digital presence, they won't find you. And so, like I mentioned before, we have most of our business coming from referrals, and that's really great. But if somebody refers us to another person and they go online and don't see anything about us or see something negative, they're not going to call us just because somebody told them to. So having a digital presence is so important for any type of business, size, industry. And the thing to keep in mind is you don't know about the people who are looking for you and can't find you. No one is going to go online, look for your type of business, and then call you and tell you I couldn't find you. And so you're missing out on a big piece of potential clients by not being online. And the other part of that is we try to tell people that social media is just not enough because you don't own the information out there. So if you're relying on Facebook or Twitter, or Instagram, or whatever, those go down, your account gets hacked, your whatever the case may be, you don't want your presence to be solely just social media. And so having a website, making sure that you're, you know, if you're not a speaker, that's okay. But just something out there that if people Google your name or your business name, something positive comes up and they're clear on where they can find you.
Yeah. I just seen this. Somebody was talking about this on how some of the creatives were upset with Instagram because of what they were doing with Reels and not having control of their client-based business for like if they're digital marketers or creatives and another niche, influencers and so forth. And they, a lot of them was like, man, I'm leaving Instagram. And some people saying that they like TikTok and YouTube. I'm not sure what the best platform is, but like, I do agree that you need to have at least a website. Mm-hmm. When you see businesses come in to offer your services, what's the number one problem you see that you try to help them solve? If they, I'm assuming one of them is just staying on Instagram as their only key and not having the right content or posting frequently enough.
Yeah.
But that's just my guesstimation. You tell me what you normally see.
I think outside of what we just talked about, and thinking that they don't really need a digital presence. I think the other part is understanding that it's a bit counterintuitive, but whatever you're putting out there, your website, blogs, whatever, is about the customer, the potential customer. It's not about you. That's actually the hardest conversation to have with people. So if we're creating a website, the client usually, I like this. Like, no one cares what you like. The website isn't for you. It's for the person that's coming to look for your service or your product. So you have to be thinking about, what does my customer want? What does this audience that's going to come and follow me, what do they want? What do they need? What questions do they have? And so it's a mindset shift when it comes to digital marketing, making sure you're not making decisions about things based on just what you like and your preferences are, and really thinking about that audience. I would say that is a challenge, no matter how much money somebody has, no matter what the size of the business is, everybody comes into it with that bias of, here's how I want to do things. Here's why I think we should do it this way.
That's a tough one right there. How do you people to do that mindset shift?
It's really hard, but it's similar to, the example I gave before is, you've got to be able to step outside of yourself as a business owner and think like a customer. And so if you had a question, maybe you're new in town and you're looking for a place to get your hair done, and you go to a website and all they're doing is talking about, themselves, that's not a place that you're going to go spend money. But if they're showing you pictures of different styles that they've done and you see one that looks like what you want, then great, you might connect with them. And so it's like, if you kind of try to take people outside of their own business and just put it into food, hair, and those kind of similar things that we all do and we all care about, and then they start to say, oh, okay. Because just like we shop as business owners, that's how the clients are shopping as well. And so trying to get people to think that way is the best I've seen so far, as far as that working.
And see, like, this is a key point that you mentioned there, because I feel when I go back to working with people, some of my natural born hustlers from the Black community, and I was like, well, who's your ideal customer? Anybody who paying. I was like, okay, we can't go for everybody, right? So who, like, if you had an avatar, who's the best customer you envision that comes to get your services? Anybody who got money who can pay. Nah, I need you to think more critically. Right. See, me, my ideal customer for this podcast is Black and Pan-African entrepreneurs, right? Community builders, educators, advocators. That's the ideal client.
Right. So specific.
I'm not going to go for somebody who's white and a six-figure earner. It's just not going to fit for my demographic.
Right. Right.
And like, how do you get somebody with that mindset to start really critically thinking and niche down? Well, do you do the exercise where you tell them, like, what's your favorite ideal customer?
It is. Because it's important, because the different types of customers want different things. So how do you talk to, how do you sell to these different types? And sometimes it's good to ask the question of, well, who's bought something from you before? Like, if you sell a product, who's bought something from you before? And if they think about it in that way, if they're not brand new and they've actually had some sales, then they can start to identify, well, wait a minute, it is more women than men that buy my product, or it is a certain age group that's more likely to buy my product. So if they're in a place where they've actually sold products or services, getting them to think about what they've done in the past and who they've sold to then can start to help them think about, okay, well, maybe this is my target. Maybe this age and this, type of person is my target. If they're brand new and they haven't sold anything yet, it's hard, because you're like, I just want money, just bring me, bring me money. But like you said, that's way too general. Like, at least start with a certain demographic or a certain type of customer and start with that, and then see if they, if they're interested or not, move on to something else. But it's harder if you're just getting started.
Yeah. I like that question. Who have you sold to?
Yeah. Before. Mm-hmm. Like, who's bought your, who's giving you money, basically, is what it comes down to. If they've paid for it, then someone like them will probably pay for it also.
Well, all right. So what if somebody says, well, I have two ideal clients. Like I have this client here, mm-hmm. client A, and I have this client B. Like, is, how do you do the digital marketing then? Or do you have to get them to commit to one? Like,
well, no, what's that it's process? Okay to have, I think it's okay to have more than one audience, just not 10, okay. you know, but it's okay to have two or three different audiences, because maybe, maybe you have only one product, but a certain group of people use it for this way and another group of people use it for that way. Like, that's actually okay, because you can have, let's say you're doing a website, you can certainly have different page on your website for those different audiences. Again, just don't have a ton of them, but certainly it's okay to have a couple, and then identify why they would buy from you. What is it about their behavior or whatever that makes them a good target for you? And I think that's fine. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, how do you, I'm going to use myself as an example, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So this is an education lesson for me too, because I remember when I first started this thing out, like I told you earlier, 2 years ago, you know, I started it just to normalize the conversation of highlighting Black and Pan-African entrepreneurship and just people in just different roles until, you know, the next generation or even current generation can start to see all these different amazing people just doing different things in different spaces, right?
Yeah.
That I've been fortunate to meet throughout my career. And that took off. And then I had another aspect of corporate people reaching out, you know, with the whole Black Lives Matter push and so forth, wanting to like do business. But I had never thought them as a customer, because that wasn't my intent of creating the thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, now I've got this as a customer. Like, now how do I incorporate that to my business? Do you ever run into situations like that? And then how do you work as a digital marketer to incorporate a new client that you didn't envision or entail to implement into the strategy?
Yeah, I think that it's a great question. I think in that example, really what you're doing shouldn't change that much, because they're coming to you because of what you do or because of what you have been doing and seeing an opportunity, let's say for them to get their product in front of your audience or something like that. Like, I'm not sure the specifics, but I don't know that I would necessarily, especially at the beginning, try to market to that audience, right? It's more of an opportunistic thing where you're creating something that's powerful and valuable. They're seeing that value in it, so they're coming to you. So then it's just a matter of making sure it's clear what you offer, who your audience is, and things like that. Because, yeah, you could find that maybe a business wants to sponsor your podcast because you're getting in front of the exact audience that they're trying to market to. So I wouldn't necessarily change anything as far as who you're marketing to, but just making sure that you're doing the best job you can and you're creating a valuable product. And then you might find that other people will come to you and want to partner with you.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Love that. All right. So let's go back. I'm going to go back into your career journey of how you got here. How did you become this icon in the digital marketing space?
I like it. Speaking into existence, right?
Hey, I'm speaking to existence. All right? If Oprah can, so right, can we.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, my journey has been, the phrase I like to use is accidental entrepreneur. I definitely never thought, you know, a long time ago, or even as a young person, I want to run a business someday. That wasn't really my plan. I'm a very by the book, I should do this, I should do that. And then, you know, get promoted. I was that type of person and had that type of mindset. But always, I would say it's since my 20s, always did stuff on the side, but I'm not a risk taker. So I never thought I would like not have a regular job and run a business. I'm not that type of risk taker. But I found myself with an opportunity a couple of years ago where I was just kind of exhausted from the grind of working just so hard and not, I mean, I had a little bit of ownership in this company I worked in, but not enough where I felt like I was working too much for that little bit of amount. So so it's like, if I'm going to work.
Man, you must have been working overtime, because if the work colleague says you're working too much, you must have like working in your sleep.
It was a lot. And it's not, you know, it's funny because I probably work more now, but the difference is it's my business. And so it's like, the flexibility is there and the freedom to choose the type of projects we work with, work on, and choose my team and all of those things, that kind of outweighs the idea of maybe, you know, working all the time. And so for me, it was just the timing of when I left corporate America and the timing when, you know, this opportunity came about to run the company. It just, the stars were just aligned a little bit. So I did not start my company. I took over running it. So for me, the journey was like a little bit non-traditional. I didn't, you know, I have entrepreneurs in my family. My brother's an entrepreneur and has been since, well, I can remember, since he was really young. But my parents both had more traditional jobs. But they certainly exposed us to that, where we knew that running a business was available to us. It was an opportunity that we could take advantage of. And so I'd say a little bit of a non-traditional journey to entrepreneurship for me.
All right. So one question I always like to ask my listeners, just to kind of see the progression, is because it's not where you start. It's how you finish in the journey, right?
Absolutely.
What was your first job?
So my first job, I delivered newspapers. When I was,
get out of here.
I did. I was. Now, one thing is interesting. I guess it's interesting what I just said. I like making money. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm very cheap, so I don't like spending it. So I'm a good saver, but I like I like having my own money. So I mean, we probably made $5 an hour, like something ridiculous. And me and my friend, we were in the eighth grade, so we didn't even have cars. We rode our bike to deliver these papers, and they would have somebody drop all of them off to our house in our neighborhood, and then we just rode our bikes to deliver them. But that was like my first taste of getting my own paycheck, no matter how small it was mine. And I remember being able to go and open a bank account. And it was exciting to be able to see, like, I can't imagine those checks were probably $40 or so, you know, just something really small. But it really made a difference in just thinking about the idea of having your own money and being able to choose how to spend it and not having to ask somebody else for it. So, but that was my very first job. Yeah, I was like 15, nice. I think. I was about 15.
Okay, so it started at a young age.
Yeah.
is there, when you look back at that, is there anything that you think you've got from that experience that kind of helps you along your journey and throughout your career?
Yeah, I think certainly being kind of self-motivated, because if I remember correctly, I mean, they came, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning and just put all these papers at your doorstep. But there wasn't anybody checking to make sure you delivered it, right? So it's like some discipline. And at such a young age, you had to get up early because papers were supposed to be delivered by a certain time and do that. But nobody was really necessarily auditing you to make sure it was done. And so definitely having that self-discipline and that focus, I think, is something that has carried on just throughout, you know, aging and throughout different jobs I've had that I think probably started there.
And that's pretty much like the life of an entrepreneur, because you have to be self-motivated.
That's right.
Ain't nobody gonna say you need to be here or you gotta do this. If you don't do it, then
it won't get done.
It won't get done.
That's absolutely right.
So now I know you said you didn't take the most traditional way of starting your business, but I like to hear a little bit more about how you were able to, the steps you kind of took to like build your business and start a career in this digital, should I say digital marketing? Mm-hmm. Is that clear? Okay.
Yeah.
Digital marketing space. Wait, were you in a digital marketing space before you started in a digital marketing space?
No, I did sales and marketing, but I was in, I worked for a technology company. And so it's a little bit different. And it was, we worked more at the enterprise level. So much larger companies versus working with entrepreurs. Yeah. Okay. So it was a little bit different.
All right. So how does one transition from that to digital marketing and start a digital marketing business?
Yeah, it certainly is some leap of faith thinking and a lot of learning because it wasn't, you know, specifically my background. But, you know, what I have learned, probably one of the biggest things I've learned, is just how important relationship building is. Like, most things, if you're intelligent, you're willing to learn, you can learn it. But it's hard to teach someone how to build relationships, how to have good interpersonal skills. That's something that comes a little bit more naturally to people, or doesn't come naturally. And I think what happens is, I would say one of the things I pride myself on is honesty. And when I say that, as most people, like, of course, what, you know, who would not say they're honest? But there's a transparency that I think I have with people I talk to and my clients. I don't think that they expect me to know everything. They expect me to know how to get the answer to almost everything. And so that alleviates a lot of pressure, especially when you're just starting out and feeling like you have to be perfect. You have to know everything. You don't. You just have to know where to get good information, which means having good advisors, having a good network and things like that. And so I have, you know, it's been pretty amazing just how much I've learned and grown in the past couple of years. But it's been because I'm willing to get on YouTube and get on Google and find out the answers to things, talk to people, ask questions, and not feel like that's beneath me or something. Like I'm just supposed to already know those things. And so I think if you have that attitude of learning and constantly, constantly learning, then it should be a good, not easy, but good transition if you're moving into a different area.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I consider myself a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always something new I can learn.
Yeah.
And I try to keep that growth mindset. Shoot. And I can see that about you, because even before we started the podcast, you was asking me questions about the platform, learning what it is. Okay.
I'm like, listen, because somebody out there knows something that you don't know. And I want to learn that, right? Like, you're obviously using this. You said you like this. So why not? Let me find out about this tool, because that's that's how you get better at things, is when somebody's doing something, using a technology that's working for them and making their life more efficient. Because that's what you said. You said it's better for you to be able to produce things on the back end. So it's like, okay, he's efficient. He's absolutely, like, let me look into this. And then I will probably recommend it to some of my clients. I mean, that's the other thing, though, is like being a valuable resource to your clients outside of even just your kind of standard marketing services that we offer. But there are other business owners. So how do I help them if I find out about new technology or new way of doing things that could help them grow their business? Absolutely. I would share that information. Yeah. And they do the same for me.
That's the one thing I love about, you know, the people that I do business with. The people who are willing just to share all of the knowledge information, even you know, if it's not in their wheelhouse, or the information they give for free, just in conversation that they don't feel me all. I was like, man, I'll keep you for life, because I don't know what I would do. you know?
Yeah. It is. My experience has been very positive, just like that, where I'm meeting people who are just open to share what they've learned. And I try to do the same thing, because it'll come back to you. You know, like I said, I love making money, but that can't always be your first priority when you're running a business, because you're not all the way ready yet for everything. And so you have to be a bit humble and have to ask people questions, ask for help. And then there's always somebody who's behind you, who's maybe just now starting their business, and you can help them and you can share what you've learned with them. So that ability to network and share knowledge is so important in the life of an entrepreneur, and making sure you surround yourself with people who believe in that.
Man, the people, when they tell me, like, I want to make money, I say, okay, cool. If you want to make money, go add value to somebody's life and solve a problem.
Absolutely.
If you can add value to somebody's life and solve a problem,
you'll make money.
Then you will make money.
That's right. That's so true. It is so true.
So continue to do that.
Yeah.
If you want to make money.
Yeah, that is so true.
So you're going to, I know you're going to, your episode's going to drop, and I'm loving it already. And you're going to inspire somebody. I know somebody's going to get inspired by this. When they hear it, what's some advice you would give to somebody who like to start a career in digital marketing, similar to what you've done? What would you say to somebody like that? Maybe they're at that dead end job. So we got two types of this. We got the person who's at that dead end job is like, you know, child, please, I had enough of this. I need to find something. I, you know, this, you know what she's doing? I sound like I could do that.
Right.
And, or you might have that college student who's still trying to find their career pathway, but they stumble across this and they say, you know what? I think I like that career pathway. What's some advice you would give to somebody like that?
Yeah, I would say two things, and both of them come back to what you just said about adding value, is that one, find people to ask questions of, you know, find people who are doing what you think you want to do and just pick their brain a little bit. Most people love to talk about themselves. And so if you ask them one or two questions about their journey, about what they do, they usually are more than willing to share that with you, especially if you're a student and, you know, they know that you don't have a lot of experience and everything. But the second thing I'd say is volunteer somewhere. There are plenty of nonprofit organizations or really small businesses who would love to have somebody come for a month or 2 months and help them with social media. And they understand if you don't have any experience, but if you're willing to learn and figure some things out, that could really help their business, but also help you learn something new about digital marketing. And so there are lots of opportunities, but you have to be willing to do it for free sometimes. And you don't have to do it forever, but just a couple of months. And that should tell you if it's something you want to do for, you know, permanently or not. Maybe you decide, you know what, this really isn't for me, but it's a way to learn that. So find someone that you can add some value to, but also try to find people who are doing the work that you think you might like and see if you can ask them some questions.
I love that. I love that. From a seasoned pro. Now, just your journey and story inspires me. So when you look at your whole journey, what's one good lesson life has taught you?
I think the biggest thing is about confidence, like knowing yourself and being confident in yourself. The one thing that you can't really buy is other people believing in you. And so you have to believe in yourself. You have to be confident in what you're doing in order to prove to other people sometimes that they should help you or that they should work with you or they should partner with you. Believing in yourself and having that confidence, I think is so important. That's not necessarily been something I've struggled with, thankfully, in my life. I've always felt really good about what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. That's the other thing, knowing what you're not good at also. And that tends to be one of those reasons why people enjoy working with us, because I'm not BSing people with what we're capable of doing, what I'm capable of doing. I'm very clear on what we're not good at, what I'm not good at. Very confident in what we are good at. And so as you go through life, whether it's being an entrepreneur or working, you know, learn to get to know yourself, get to know your strengths, get to know where you add value, how you can help people solve problems, like you said. And that takes people a long way because, you know, like you said, the example of a college student, they don't know what they want to do. That's okay. You might not know what job you want to do, but know what you can do. Know the things that you are good at. So no matter what job you end up in, you can say, well, I've never done this before, but I know that I'm disciplined, or I know that I'm accountable. I know that I can talk to people on the phone, whatever, you know, but know what your skills are and be confident in that. And I think that will take you a long way.
Yeah. It's almost like that concept of like doubling down on your strengths. Because sometimes people tell you like, oh, you're not strong at this. You need to go work on this more, right? But to me, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like if you double down on your strengths and you surround yourself with the people who have the skill sets of the things you're weak at, that's a much better play than to try to get stronger at something that you're just not naturally good at.
I'm 100% in agreement. I'm a big, big believer in trying to identify your own strengths as a business owner, trying to identify the strengths of my team. And it's like, yeah, why spend all this time working on something just to take you from terrible to less terrible, right? Why not take something where you're good and take you to great or take you to excellent? And so I'm a huge, huge believer of that. It's the worst thing in the world that in some companies, that's what they do. They tell you what you're good at. They tell you what you need to work on. And it's like, what? Are you serious? And then they put a plan together for you to get better at things that you're not good at. Like that, it's just a little backwards to me. So I am such a huge fan of know what your strengths are and then figure out how to, like you said, double down on it and get even better.
Yeah. You know, so us having this conversation, it reminds me last year to dive deeper into this subject. I was working with another group called Village Up, and they did this survey of underserved founders, right? And what the challenges are. And the survey we had some discussions where it was a big portion of women entrepreneurs who had shifted from out of their careers into business. Mm-hmm. And then going back to the statement that you said about confidence, there's two things we'll talk about in this dialogue. Mm-hmm. Is some of them that went into male dominant industries, they lost their confidence. Mm-hmm. And they started feeling imposter syndrome, right? And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think it's because they try to do business the way these men did business, or try to follow the suit. Yeah. The second part to this discussion is the study. There's another study that wasn't done by Bojack that showed that Black women are leaving the corporate world at a large number and starting their own businesses. Yeah. And I wanted to get your take as a Black woman who's done it.
Yeah.
You know, one, why do you feel that, you know, Black women are, and they're successful in this transition too.
Yeah.
Not only are they doing it at a higher rate, they're successful out of any other race or group of women.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? And two, the women that are transitioning that, especially in those male dominant industry, do you think if they just stick to what they do best and not follow that model is the reason why they might be experiencing imposter syndrome? I know that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
But
you know, I have some ideas, but it's like, I think very specific to certain, you know, situations, but I do think that as an employee, you can get caught up into seeing what success looks like for someone else and then feeling like, okay, I've got to do that. But that comes back to what I was saying before. You need to believe in yourself. You need to believe in your strengths and how you add value. And, you know, everyone isn't in the same position, obviously, but you have to be willing to walk away too. Like if people don't see your value, that you feel, you know, you're adding this value and people don't recognize it or appreciate it, sometimes you have to go somewhere else for that to happen. And that's okay. Like there's literally nothing wrong with that. Again, everyone doesn't have that opportunity, but I think most people do and don't realize it. And then many people, stick at a company where they're not happy. They're also not being recognized. And then they can tend to think it's them. But sometimes it's not you, it's the company and it's the people there. So I wish that people would really focus on knowing that they're adding value and how they're adding value and understanding that there are other places that you could possibly go. I think on the other side where you said a lot of women are leaving corporate America and moving to starting their own business, I certainly have read that as well. So I know that that is happening. And I think a lot of times, I mean, for me, it was just, you know, just being tired. Like you're going to work every single day. And in many situations, you're the only woman. Like if the higher you go up, you're the only woman. In many situations, you're the only Black person. In many situations, you're the only Black woman. It gets exhausting after a while. I mean, there's nothing wrong with different people and diversity and all of that stuff. But after a while, it gets a little old to not see anyone that looks like you and you always being that person. And so I can see that was certainly part of the reasons why I've left previous jobs before, not necessarily this last one, but I worked at a job where this a while ago, but I was the youngest, I was the only woman, and I was the only Black person in leadership. And they were paying me good money. So at first it was like, okay, you know, I could do this. But after a couple of years, it's like, I'm just tired of not seeing anybody sitting in these meetings that doesn't look like me. And I can find somewhere else to work, you know, make this kind of money. And so I think that's one part of it. It's just the exhaustion of not, you know, just looking around the room and just not seeing your face. I think the other part of it could be lack of opportunity. You know, if you're in an environment where you feel like you're being passed over for promotions or you don't feel like there's good growth for you, that's another reason that people leave. And then there's some real flexibility in running your own business. You know, maybe you have kids, like that's something to consider. How much more you can do with your kids working from home or working your own business. There are a lot of reasons, and I'm happy that people see that as an avenue, right? They don't necessarily feel like they have to be stuck just in working in corporate America. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone and doesn't need to be for everyone, but for people who feel like they can take that chance, I think it's great.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I love the way you broke it down so eloquently. And I think it's also people just recognizing that this is an option too. And hopefully platforms like what we're doing right here allows people to understand there's other options. Like, you know, it's not like, like your parents had to do this.
That's right.
And for stability and growth, like they did that so that you hopefully, and you don't have to do that. And there's a new path where you can kind of forge and make your own lane depending on, you know, what it is you're achieving or wanting to achieve in your personal and professional life, right?
Yeah.
Love that. What do you think the future has in store for your industry specifically?
I think that digital marketing will continue to grow. I would say that, you know, during the pandemic, for example, we had a couple of months that were horrible, but then things turned around because, like I said before, everyone needs digital. And so we were able to actually grow pretty nicely in 2020 as well as in 2021. And so I think as an industry, people are starting to recognize, like, if you think about traditional jobs where people were in the office every day and how people are kind of rebelling against that now. Nobody wants to go back to that 5 days a week in the office all day. And so what does that mean? Well, that means you've got to have technology for people to be able to have these conversations like we're having now. You have to be able to market to people a little bit differently. People aren't driving to work, for example. So think about radio, or think about things that how people would advertise to folks because they're driving back and forth to work every day. People aren't doing that as much anymore. So everything is moving more and more digital. And I think that will continue over the next several years. Even if we're lucky enough to get back to whatever normal is, people will be so set in their ways of operating in this kind of pandemic environment that I think the digital space would continue to grow, and they'll continue to be opportunity for companies like ours.
Yeah. Honestly, I think this digital space is the new normal, honestly. You could be right. Even how I see them producing TV nowadays, like, they're doing it through like platforms like this, because this platform can live stream as well.
That's right.
And they'll take somebody where they're at their house. They have all the lighting and equipment there.
Yep.
And through all these different sports and even like regular shows, talk shows, and stuff, like that. I'm over here at my place, you over there at my place, and we're doing an interview. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess this is the new thing now. Yeah. Like, you don't have to go into the studio to produce a studio quality, like,
that's right.
Interview.
And it's cheaper. You know, if you think about it, like you're saying, for television, if they can produce the same type, the same quality of show where half their team is at home and half the audience is at home, that's better because you're reaching more people. You know, we're limited before of if somebody had to drive to a place or fly to a place to participate. Now people can do it from anywhere in the world. And so you're actually opening yourself up to more eyeballs, more clients, what have you. So it's been really interesting. But, you know, we were super fortunate to be in this space because obviously, you know, retail and things like that, it was just complete negative shift for them because of the way of the world is. And so, digitally, it's been a good thing.
Yeah. You know what? Also, I think this is going to open up the world to this whole one digital global marketplace now,
mm-hmm.
because I mean, for me, just starting my podcast, like I was interviewing people from South Africa, mm-hmm. from the UK.
Yeah.
And then I was getting a big audience from those areas. I was like, wow, I remember one time getting the email. I was like, oh, you just hit number 2 on the podcast list in South Africa.
That's,
I was like,
wild.
What?
That's nuts.
Like, how did I do that?
Yeah. And it's like, you wouldn't have thought that would be something even possible, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And now it's like you said, it's actually normal because, you know, you're making something of value and making it accessible to anybody. As long as you have a phone or a computer, you can access the product that you're selling. So it's pretty cool.
Right. So that's going to, I don't know if that makes it more work for you because now there's a bigger audience, or does it make it less work, or just, I don't know.
More opportunity. So it certainly probably more work, but it's more opportunity. And so, yeah.
The problem is the opportunity. There you go. I love it.
That's right.
All right. Well, I try to keep these in what used to be drive times. And I have a feeling you could probably talk a lot longer. Let's end it off on this. What projects are you currently working on, and where can people find you?
Yeah. Well, people can find us on creativeallies.com. They can find us on the web or our social. It's all the same. It's Creative Allies. And projects we're working on now, I think I mentioned before, we do a lot of nonprofit work, which is really exciting because it goes back to kind of driving my passion, which is helping people. So we're working you know, with organizations who are doing something amazing for their community. And whether it's helping them with fundraising events or helping them just with their basic website or social media, it's really exciting for our team to be able to do that. So we've taken on quite a bit of nonprofit work. And otherwise, it's more traditional entrepreneurial, you know, marketing support. But it's good for us. You know, our company is continuing to grow, which is really exciting. Continue to grow in people and revenue, which is really exciting. It's a challenge. You know, every growth spurt is a challenge, but it's fun to be able to look back, like you had said before, kind of look back at the progress and see, you know, where we were a couple of years ago to where we are now. And so one thing I always try to offer people is, you know, if you reach out to me, I love talking to people, learning about new businesses. I can take 15, 20 minutes. I'm busy, but anybody can take 15, 20 minutes and just have a conversation, because sometimes all it takes is one suggestion or one recommendation that could really make a difference in somebody's business. You don't always have to have a huge project. Sometimes it's just a little bit of advice. And so I always encourage people, connect with me on LinkedIn, and let's just set aside time to have a quick conversation about what you're doing in your business. Maybe we can help, but maybe there's something else I could recommend for you.
I love it. I love it. Amy, thank you so much for taking the time with us. I forgot to ask you, how did you come up with that name? Because I love that name, Creative Allies. How did you come up with that?
Well, we did not come up with it, but it is a really cool name. And so, you know, our company has actually been around for about a little over 10 years. And the co-founders of the company came up with the name. I don't know how they did, but what it represents, you know, good advice for anybody starting a business, please pick a name that means something. Don't pick a name that only means something to you. Pick a name where people, at least they might not know we do digital marketing, but they know we do something creative. And so it's like, pick something that can resonate with people. But we have a business model where we use a group of freelancers as well as strategic partners to help us execute projects if the project is of a certain size. And so I have about 6 people on my team. But if we need beyond that, or if we need certain special skills, we go out to that. And those are our allies. And so the name kind of came from this idea of creating a company that really used the community to get these projects done. So that's where the allies piece comes on board. But yeah, when we kind of joined the company, it was like, oh, that's a really cool name. And it's simple and, you know, just very straight to the point.
I love that. Well, can I be an ally for interviewing all your Black and Pan-African guests?
Absolutely.
You know, once you get their digital market set up, can I be an ally for that?
A podcasting ally. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Amy, it's been such a pleasure. Like, I feel like we long distant cousins and family now, and we have to stay in touch after this.
Absolutely.
Any last words of wisdom for the people before we sign off?
I would just kind of reiterate what I said before, you know, believe in yourself and don't be afraid to take risks. Everything is not always going to work out, but you kind of never know what's going to work out if you don't try it. So believe in yourself and be confident and take some risks to grow your business, start your business or grow your business.
Awesome. I love that. Have confidence, take risk, mm-hmm. and just be yourself overall, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Rise Urban Nation. I can't wait for all of you to engage with the creative allies over there, especially if you need help with your business or your nonprofit. This is Terrell Simmons signing off, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love, love what you do. Don't chase the money, let the money chase you.